It's good to be back this morning. Are you awake? And I see everybody's doing this. It'll take a few minutes, all right? But that's all right. Take your Bible, turn to Romans 3. And really, what I've learned in all the years that God has really been working in me since about 1997, God began to lead me in studying Bible prophecy. I did not know at that time that I would be doing what I'm doing today, what I'd be doing now. And that is trying to show everybody how right this Bible is. But God just instilled that in me, and all the things that I've learned and all the things that I've seen both going on in the world and what I see in the Bible really can be summed up in this one thing in Romans 3, verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Okay, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And this, I've just thought about and pondered how true this is. I never, ever, and in fact, I made a deal with God. The very first Bible prophecy conference I did was in Little Rock, Arkansas, many, many years ago. And God just burdened me, and I just spent some time praying. And I said, God, please, whatever you do, don't let me deceive those people. Don't let me say anything that is not true. I'm not interested in hyping anything. I'm not interested in trying to puff me up or puff something up just because it sounds sensational. I don't want to lie to people. And that's my heart. That's how I really see things. But I know for a fact in the last 20 years, there's no way I can say everything right. I'm not capable of it. It's not in me. My flesh, what you're seeing, is a war against the Spirit of God and my flesh. And my flesh sometimes wants to say things that aren't right. Now, if I knew every place in the Bible where I was wrong, I would let God correct me. Amen? I don't know where all the things I'm wrong in, but over time, I think God will help me out with this thing. But even some of the best men that you trust, Brother Lonnie and I had this conversation just a while ago. He said, Mike, I don't jump when you jump. I don't jump and get excited when somebody else preaches and they say something. He said, I listen. Then I take what they said. You be a Berean. I take what they said and I go back to the scriptures, back to the Word of God to see whether these things be true or not. That's your responsibility. My responsibility is to give you what I think is the Word of God. Your responsibility is to make sure that what I gave you, what came out of me, is the Word of God. That's your responsibility. And this was on my heart last night when I got back to the trailer. I thought, you know, I've been thinking about doing a study on this. You know, how many places in the Bible have you read this phrase? Be not deceived. Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. So I just went through the Bible and I just started pulling these verses out. And I don't expect that you'll memorize every one of these. I don't expect you to turn to every one of these because I'm going to move through them kind of fast, all right? But from the New Testament on, here are the major places where the Bible is teaching you about deception. Who deceives us? Who is it that does that? It's Satan. It's the devil. This, and the Bible will tell you how he does it, how he's going to do it, how he's going to try to do it, how he's going to go after your wife, how he's going to go after your children, how he's going to go after Brother John people in your church, how the devil's going to get his own radio show. His own TV show on TBN, his own YouTube channel, and he's got a bunch of them out there. His own Facebook page, amen? He's got a ton of Facebook pages everywhere. He is a deceiver and a liar, and he will lie to you. He will. We already know that he loves to mix the truth in with a little bit of lie. He did that with Jesus when he was trying to tempt him. He quoted Scripture. He gave him the Word of God. Jesus gave him the Word of God back. He tried to deceive using Scripture. People will do that. They will do that. It is your responsibility to not be lied to. Matthew 24:4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Whether it's me, Brother Charlie, Brother Lonnie, Brother John, any of these guys, anybody on YouTube, anybody on the radio, any book that you read that's not a King James Bible, take heed that no man deceive you. Matthew 24:11. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. You don't want to be in that crowd. You do not want to be in that crowd. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible. Now here's our hope. If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now the word very does not mean a higher form of elect than other people are elect. There's only two types of people in the world. Saved, lost. That's it. There are no grades of saved. There's no higher people who are saved better than other people. There's no levels like in Freemasonry in Christianity. Amen? When God gives you the Holy Spirit, He gives you the portion that you need for that day. He'll give you a greater portion another day. But that's just, and it's a free gift. Amen. That's how God does it. But there are many, the false prophet will show signs and wonders, shall deceive. The word very here means truly. Truly elect. That's what very, veritas, verify something. That's where that word comes from. Means truly elect. And what that means is there are people who are sitting in churches who are not the elect, but they have been told they were. They are false brethren, Paul calls them. False brethren. Jude said certain men crept in unawares. There are people in every camp, in every form of ministry, every denomination, that are nothing but deceivers. They deceive people. They are themselves deceived. And they will spread their deception. And when the great lie comes that's going to be told in this earth, they are going to fall for it. Amen? They and along with everybody else. But here's the hope. Those who are truly elect, God will not let you be deceived. He'll always take you and He'll show you from the Word. He'll put something in your mind from the Holy Spirit and He'll verify it with His Word and He will show you the truth. There is, take your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's see here. There's another deception verse here. Paul said in verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together. And I'm ready to be gathered. Amen. But God's got work for us, so let's get to work. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. Any means, including using the Bible. I always tell people, when somebody gives you a verse, like in a book, or an article, or a YouTube presentation, or a sermon, or whatever, somebody says, what I just said, that's in Ephesians 5, verse 8, or whatever. I've found sometimes that when you go to the verse they tell you to go to, it does not say what they said. It doesn't say it. They may think it, but it doesn't say it. And what I always tell people is, even if somebody gives you a verse, go to that verse. Paul said, walk circumspectly. Circum is a circle. Spect is what I'm wearing here. That means look around. Look at that verse. Look at what comes before that verse. Look at what comes after that verse. Find out what neighborhood that verse is in. Find out what that verse is talking about according to the Word of God, not according to what some man said. People will use portions of Scripture to deceive. And if you don't believe the whole counsel of God, you might just fall for that deception. So he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I got something to say about that in a little bit. I want you to look down in verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You want to be saved? You got to love the truth. You got to love the truth of the Word of God, and you got to love the truth about what the Word of God says about you. You're not having your best life now, let's be honest. Amen? It's not happening here. I don't want it here. I want the next life. Amen. Now look at verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send what kind of delusion? Strong delusion. And you know what gets me? I see people falling now for some of the weakest, stupidest things that I've ever seen in my life.
Amen. Amen.
Mandela effect. Know what that is? Know what that is?
Deception.
Deception. Sure it is. There's this thing going around on the internet called the Mandela effect. There's videos out there. YouTube is smeared with Mandela effect videos. Everybody trying to prove that somebody at CERN, where the Large Hadron Collider is, opened a portal, went back in time, changed things, like the name of the Berenstain Bears, or that Nelson Mandela died in prison, but now in our timeline, he got out of prison and became president. Because people say, no, Nelson Mandela, you know, South Africa, he died in prison. No, he didn't. He lived, he got out of prison and ran for president, was president. Well, that's not how I remember it. So they say that somebody went back in time and altered the past, changed things, and now we're living in a different reality. Now, I will say that I think some of these people are in fact living in a different reality. No doubt in my mind about it. But here's what they say. They say, we clearly remember verses in the Bible that we now know have been changed and altered. The King James Bible. Like, you know, the lion shall lay down with the lamb, right? The Bible never said that. The wolf shall lay down. And then they say, well, you know, the Bible said, you know, that it said that you can't put new wine in old wineskins. Well, or old bottles. That's what the Bible says. I remember the Bible used to say wineskins. That was a different translation. That was not the King James. So they make this big deal about this. And people were writing me letters going, Pastor, did you know the Bible's been changed? So I looked into it. I went, oh my goodness. So I did a video called Mandela Effect Madness. And I went verse by verse by verse in the King James Bible, and I showed them that the Bible is incorruptible. Nobody, not even somebody traveling back in time, can alter the word, the real Word of God. And so some of the people went, oh, thank you, Pastor Mike, for teaching us that truth. But some of them went, he's lying. I know he's lying. Here is the silliest deception in the world. And they fell for it. When the strong delusion comes, these people are suckers. Amen? They're going to go down like bottles at a carnival. All right? They're going down quick. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now take that and let's go back to Matthew 24. If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I believe that on that day, God's elect are not going to fall for that deception. That is the promise that God made that promise to you. He loves you. And God is going to keep you on that day if you love the truth and don't love lies. I've had people lie to me. I don't like lying. I don't like liars. I don't like lying myself. I want to know the truth. Amen? Amen. Keep going. Romans 16, 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. You know what that is? Your belly is where your lusts are, your desires are. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. People who don't believe the Bible. 1 Corinthians 3, 18. Let no man deceive himself. How is that? Do you believe that's possible? I do. I absolutely do. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Notice that he said wise in this world. There is a clear difference between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of the Bible. And sometimes those two don't get along with each other. They don't agree with one another. So your best choice is to choose the wisdom of the Bible over the wisdom of the world. Like, did God really make everything in 6 days, 6,000 years ago? That's the wisdom of the Bible. The wisdom of the world will tell you, not possible. We know things are old. We've dated them. We know that this tree and this rock and this mollusk goes back to 13 million years ago. We know that they had this big breakthrough the other day. They found a tooth. A tooth, mind you, of some ape, some species of ape that they said was our grandfather. And they said, wow, we've had to change our dating. We thought this tooth went back 9 million years ago. And it only goes back 7 million years ago. And they think they know that. They, according to the Bible, they're wrong by, what, about 7 million years? Okay? That's the wisdom of the world. Don't accept it. Don't be deceived by your own self. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, Brother Lonnie. Listen to this. This is what, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived on this matter. Your sin will deceive you. Amen. And your sin will change your doctrine. Right. It will. Right. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil TV shows corrupt good manners. Evil radio shows corrupt good manners. And good manners is not, don't burp at the table and don't put your elbow and don't, you know, don't hold your fork like this. That's not good manners. Good mannerisms of life. The way that God teaches us to walk in the scriptures, that should be our mannerisms. That should be how people know us. You see that guy over there? He's a good guy. And I think he's a true Christian. He walks according to the Bible. He walks that way. People will know you by your mannerisms, by how you walk. And he said, be not deceived. Evil communications will corrupt. This is what we said last night. The devil is a corrupter. When he gets something, he does not enhance it. He does not make it better. He corrupts things. Mankind, we corrupt things. Everything that we touch, we corrupt. And so, be not, the evil communications, evil TV shows, evil radio programs, evil music, evil Christian music will corrupt good manners. Evil Bible translations will corrupt good, and it has. It has. The point I was making last night, and the point I'm making today, is that there will always be fruit of the Bible being used in a church. The Bible that they use will either produce good fruit in a Christian home, in a family, in a man's life, in a woman's life, in children's life. It will always produce good fruit in a church, or that Bible that they use will produce corrupt fruit if that Bible is corrupt. And it is corrupt. And the corrupt Bibles cannot produce good churches. It's not possible. So what do we see now? Coffee shop churches. Churches where there's sleazy preachers preaching sleazy sermons to excite the audience, to get a crowd in, to become a mega church. That's what's happening. And it's because of the Bible. The Bibles have corrupted the good manners and the good mannerisms of churches everywhere and whole denominations. So if a denomination at its top moves from the King James to new Bible translations, the corruption is going to come down the line to the churches. And it's going to change these churches. It's going to corrupt the churches. Amen? Give me some other evil communications. Help me out here. Help me preach. Evil communications, what are they? YouTube videos. Websites. Social media. Friends. Personal friends or friends on Facebook. They'll corrupt you. You'll put out the word of God, Sister Naomi, and you'll have a friends list. They'll come out and attack you and claw at you and call you all kinds of names. Why? Because you're a lover of truth. You love the Bible. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God. How? Deceitfully. How many verses do you need to establish a doctrine? At least two or three. And I'm going to show you that in a little bit. Okay, we're going to go through the doctrine of what the Bible says about the Bible in a little bit. And I'm going to show you that the Bible establishes itself as perfect and will always be perfect. And I don't get that from what I read on the internet. I don't get that from what I read in some book. I don't get it from Dr. So-and-so at the Bible college. I got it from the Word of God itself. And if you get it from the Word of God, nobody can argue with you because you have Bible verses and they don't. Okay? And I'll show you that in a little bit. All right? I keep saying I'm going to show you a lot of stuff. So you're going to have to hang around till about 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. All right? Pizza crust on your face right here. Anyway, don't handle the Word of God deceitfully. Galatians 6:3, for if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. That was me many years ago. That's me sometimes during the day. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What you sow? So, why don't you sow this? Why don't you have this sown into your life, into your mind, into your heart? And if you sow this into your mind, then this is what's going to come out. And remember, you're not defiled by what goes in. You're defiled by what comes out of you. And if the seed that goes into you is corrupt, then what comes out of you will be corrupt. But if what goes on to you, into you, is incorruptible and everlasting, then what comes out of you will be the same. Be not deceived on this issue. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's people, I have known this. Sister Naomi, you and I on Facebook, maybe, I don't know, I'm not on there very much anymore. Because when I get on there and I see some stupid post from somebody, I just can't keep my mouth shut. You're an idiot, okay? I do. But I've noticed this. There are people out there who watch every video I do. And they're waiting for me to say something against their little pet theory. And they lie in wait to deceive. Because when I post it, then they're going to make a comment on it. They're waiting for me to say it. And when I say it, they're going to go, boom! And they're going to slide out their false idea and their false doctrine in a comment somewhere to try to counter what it is that I'm saying in that sermon or in that teaching. They're just waiting to do that. And they're waiting just around the corner for you or for your children or for your church members. They're waiting just around the corner to deceive these people. It's like they don't have a day job and all they do is sit around on the internet and wait for you to say something or wait to get somebody. I don't understand. Go to work. Amen. Get a job. Amen. Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to, and there he said it, your sin and your lust will change your doctrine. Deceitful lust will change you. There are people who think that they can sin repeatedly over and over and over, never repent, never be sorry for that sin, and they have heaven as their home. It's a deception. They say that they can sin. I've had people say, I've seen their post. I believe that if you believe only for a second that Jesus died for your sins, you're saved eternally and nothing you ever do after that or think will ever change that. In some people's minds, here's my favorite word here. You can become an atheist, lesbian, witch, according to them, and still go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. That may be what Dr. So-and-so said. That may be what the man said. But remember, let God be true and every man a liar. Back it up with the Word of God. Not with what the commentary said, or the book said, or Dr. So-and-so said, or whoever said. Back it up with the Word of God. And deceitful lusts will drive your opinions about God. Because your flesh doesn't want to give them up. Your flesh doesn't want to give up its sin. And it's going to fight you. Jesus himself said, the spirit and the flesh are battling one another. There's a war going on. And the spirit is strong and willing. But the flesh, it's weak. And so what happens is people start changing their doctrine and changing their idea about God just so they can keep their stupid sins.
That's right.
Amen. Right. Ephesians 5, 6. You didn't know that this deceive thing was so common. It's everywhere in the New Testament. It took me forever to go through this last night. Let's see here. Let a man deceive you with vain words. You know what vain words are? Non-Bible words. I'll help you out here. Every place that I'm reading scripture, those are good words. Every time I talk in between, those are vain words. Okay? You don't have to believe what I'm saying outside of the scripture. You do have to believe the scripture. Let a man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. That means when you see it, come up on your Facebook, cut them off. Give them a chance to repent, message them privately, but if they're going to insist on it, cut them off. You don't need these people in your life. You don't need these people in your circle of influence. You don't need to be seeing their posts show up on social media or on the internet. You're watching some guy on YouTube and he's nuts about three things, but he's got one or two things that you really like. I don't care. The guy's nuts. Be not partakers with these people. They're deceivers. They'll give you vain words and they'll use the word of God to deceive. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. There he said it again. After the tradition of men. Well, my family went to this church. My great-granddaddy helped start this church. And we're going to stay in this church because that's our family church. You know what that is? That is being deceived by a tradition of men. You have decided that since your family has been in this church now for 150 years, that you can't ever leave. And this preacher now, he's given you every version of the Bible except the King James. He's preaching Rick Warren sermons. He's preaching everything else except the whole counsel of God. But you're going to sit there because that's your family tradition. How many people are there like that? There's a ton of them. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2. Watch this. Open your Bible back up to 2 Thessalonians 2. I want you to see this. Okay? Now, you've liked everything I said so far, right? Strike one. Oh no, here we go. I'm going to say something that you may disagree with. Okay? But I want you to read the Bible. Will you read the Bible? Before you say, Hoggard, I've had it with you. I want you to read your Bible. Let no man deceive you, verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, let no man deceive you by any means. He's established that this is pertaining our gathering unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our translation. Right? That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except something's going to happen first. What is it? Falling away. What is that, Brother Lonnie? Falling away. Apostasy. Okay. Yeah. Study people that fell. Study in the Bible. It's angels. What a third of the angels going to do? What's Lucifer do? In fact, every time you see Lucifer, he's falling. Okay. In Isaiah 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? He's fallen in Isaiah 14. 1,000 years later, here's Jesus. I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Here's John, 90 years later. Here's Satan falling. Every time you see Satan, he's... Okay? And then he's going to be in the bottomless pit. He's going to do what for 1,000 years? He's going to fall for 1,000 years. Okay? That's him. That's his nature. Okay? Well, that's good. Where was I going with it? Anyway, things that fall... Dagon falls. Babylon falls. Jericho falls. All these things fall. In the plain of Dura, when they lifted up the image that was 60 cubits tall, 6 cubits wide. Hear those sixes in there? It means something. What happened to everybody in the plain of Dura except three men? They fell. The Bible says it. Saul did what on his sword? fell on it. That's a falling. When Eli heard that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken, what did he do? Fell backwards, like slain in the spirit. Okay? The falling away is not something good that I'm hoping for one of these days. Somebody sent me a Jimmy Swaggart's back. He's bigger than ever. He's got radio stations. In fact, he's got whole radio stations all over the country, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Him, Donnie Swaggart, and some of their other people. He's got TV, he's got satellite TV stations. He is Mr. Hotshot on the Bible. So he gets over this little deal that he had back in the 80s, and he's back full force. So he comes out with a Swaggart Bible. And it's got, you ought to see it. It's got whole verses, King James Bible, and right in the middle of the verses, in with the text of the Bible, are the Swaggart commentaries. And usually, in the Old and New Testament both, almost every page, there's a verse that says, a better translation of this is. And right in the verse, what it really should have said is this. This is an unfortunate translation. What the Greek really says here is something different. And they do it here in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. They don't like that because it contradicts their doctrine that the rapture is going to happen before anything else in the whole world. And right here it says the falling away comes when? First. So what the Swaggarts did is they injected in this verse, the original Greek apostasia gives a better reading of the word apostasia is caught away. So, in other words, the King James Bible is wrong in that it says falling away. We say that it means the rapture. The word apostasia in their mind means the rapture. Dun, dun, dun. Let no man deceive you by any means. Amen? That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. All right? Hope I didn't make you mad. Okay, appreciate that. Two of you. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. See, unrighteousness is a deceiver. It is your sin. I'm telling you, your sin will constantly try to work against your knowledge of God and give you imaginations of God that are not possible in the Scripture. In other words, it'll teach you that sin is your Savior. Sin is your Savior. You can sin. Sin is good for you. Sin is right. Go ahead and sin. God covers it with grace and don't worry about it. Now, I believe that when you're saved, you become a son of God. And if God is your father, then God takes his belt off, or he takes a rod when you sin, and he bends you over his holy knee, and he chastises you until you can't stand up. How many have ever had that happen before? That is what keeps you from being, according to the Bible, a bastard. A bastard does not receive the inheritance. You are no son of God if you will not let God chasten you. Amen. See, that's the evidence. That's the mark right there. Does God whip you? Does God get after you? Does God put guilt on you and make you sorry for yourself? I get into it with people who say, you're teaching false doctrine. You're teaching people that repentance is part of salvation. And I'll send a verse back, brother. I'll send one verse back. It says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation that needeth not be repented of. And they say, well, you're a heretic. That's what the Bible said. Amen. That's what the Bible said. Anyway, deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong to delusion that they should believe a lie. 1 Timothy 2:12. But I suffer not a woman to what? Teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Joyce Myers, we was at Walmart yesterday, and I was looking at their books. Joyce Myers, in the religious section, has 4-1 more books than anybody else out there. She is Mrs. Hot Snot, I'm telling you. And she lives in our county and won't pay her taxes either. Okay? She's a witch. She's a Listen, I know people that have worked for her. She's an evil cuss. She is something else. They say she's mean as rattlesnakes to work for. And then she gets up there and smiles. Now, if you just think positive thoughts, God will give you positive things. That's witchcraft, people. I'm telling you, it's witchcraft. Suffer not a woman. They're the deception. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word. You know what that means? The word will always be faithful. It'll never deceive you and it'll never lie to you. God will not lie to you, people. God will not lie to you. The word won't, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. That's for money. Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of what? Sin. I'm telling you, sin is what's changing the churches now. The pastors have been snared in sins and transgressions. And the devil will not let them preach the word of God. They may have had good intentions years ago, but they have been so absorbed in themselves and in their sin, they're too far gone. That's what happens. I know all about it. James chapter 1 verse 22, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There he said it again. James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. 2 Peter 2:12, but as natural brute beasts, these are the false teachers, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. At some point, there's going to be a separation. God's people on one side, and the liars and the deceivers on the other. Sheep and goats. God's going to sort it all out. Amen? The question is, whose side are you going to be on? 1 John 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. 2 John 1:7, for many, many deceivers are entered into the world, and who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He's not putting the deceivers in the category of saved people. The deceivers are in the category of antichrist. Okay? They're not saved. They're not sheep. Revelation 13:13, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. And that's what you hear coming out of these big Pentecostal charismatic churches. Big miracle session tonight. Going to have a big miracle healing service. Everybody come and get your healing. Oh, we're going to have an explosion of the Holy Ghost fire all over everybody. And we're just going to heal and do great miracles. And people get sucked into that. And they accept the signs of the miracles and fail to read the Word of God. And hence are deceived. Revelation 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Where does the devil's deception has a purpose? It has a goal. And that is to bring you to receive a mark in your right hand or in your forehead. That's his goal. That's his aim. That's the purpose of it. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men. In fact, turn here to this passage. I want you to see this. I want to see how God ties all this together. Evil men. and seducers. This is 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I'll be honest with you. I get a little jealous when I see the stupid Mandela effect YouTube videos have 800,000 views and mine has 3,000. I get a little tattered over that. But you know what? It's the way of the world. Apparently, people would like to be deceived. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And they're going to have more Facebook friends, and they're going to have more YouTube hits, and they're going to get many, many followers. Deceiving and being deceived. You see, for the most part, I don't think these false teachers and false prophets and false bloggers and everything else, I don't think that they purposely are trying to deceive people. Maybe some of them are. But I think these people really believe what they're saying. The problem is, they're wrong. And any time they say something that contradicts the words that are in this book, then they're wrong and they're lying to you. But continue. Look, here's your responsibility. You continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Can I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
How much scripture?
All
scripture was given by inspiration.
Is.
Not was. It didn't used to be perfect. It still is perfect. Always is. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So when you hear these people say, well, not every, when you confront somebody about what's going on in their church, about all this speaking in tongues and all this slain in the spirit stuff and all this nonsense that's going on, laughing, holy laughter and all this garbage, and you say to them, where's that in the Bible? They will come back because they've been told by their handlers, this is what you say. Not everything that God does is in the Bible. Give them scripture and read this to them. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If God's going to do it, it's in the Bible. And if it happens and it's not in the Bible, God didn't do it. God didn't do it. All right? So that was, what'd that take, an hour? Took a lot longer than I thought. But that's not even, I didn't even include Old Testament scriptures in this. These are the passages of the Bible in the New Testament that are warning you about the deceiver. Warning you about deceiving your own self. Warning you about looking in the mirror and going, you know, you are good looking. Man. No wonder your wife married you. You're something. You're deceiving yourself. Your sin. Quit worrying about what everybody else does. Your sin will deceive you. It'll lie to you. Here's something that lies to me a lot. I'll be honest. Let me change deals here and I'll just talk to you for a minute. The thing that gets me a lot is my emotions. Sometimes there's some days when I just get weak emotionally. And when that happens, I think devils can smell things like dogs and deer and, okay, they smell something. And I think devils sense in me that my emotions are going to play on me. And they jump right in there. And I get this, you know, Mike, you're not good enough. Mike, everybody's against you. Nobody likes you. Everybody, that's stuff I dealt with when I was like, 7 or 8 years old. when I was about 6 years old, I had it that nobody liked me. So I went to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I went, I know why nobody likes me. It's my eyebrows. They're too bushy. There. And I went outside, my new look. And my mom said, son, what did you do? What do you mean? What have you done? Your eyebrows! You look horrible! That didn't quite work out the way I thought it. But I'll have days where my emotions will play on me. Nobody likes you. Nobody's listening to you. Nobody, your stuff's not working. The people in your church, they hate you. They want a new pastor. Stuff like that all the time. And that gets me. And when it does, I've learned. I've been trained. Okay, I've been trained by my father. My father's taught me to fight it off. And so what I'll do is I'll get my Bible out. Usually I'll go to the Psalms. That's where my medicine is. I'll take my medicine. And I'll just start reading Scripture. And sometimes I will say, I'll look at passages of Scripture that God led me to, and I will say, I believe that. I don't trust this. I don't trust my imagination. I don't trust my feelings and my emotions. I don't like them, what they do to me. So I only trust the Word of God and what it says. So when I take that medicine, give it a few days, I start feeling better. Food tastes better. You know, that kind of stuff. Everything's better in life because of the Word of God. I don't like when I lie to myself. Because I will. But I have a countermeasure for it, and it's the Word of God. Amen. Psalm 139. God gave me this for this conference. All right? Psalm 139, 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book. DNA is a book. I teach on this all the time. I marvel at DNA. I love it. Okay? It is life. Everything that lives has DNA. Rocks do not have DNA. Foam on a microphone does not have DNA. Wood has DNA. It was living at one time. Everything alive has DNA in it. Everything not alive does not have in it. DNA is a book that God wrote for every living thing. Every body, every human, every mosquito, every larva, everything in the world that has life has DNA in it. All right? A church has DNA. If your church is alive, is this church alive? You bet it is. I marvel at the fact that people, they say they can discern whether a church is alive or not because you guys don't go, woo, amen, woo, oh, hallelujah. You guys don't do that, and some would say, oh, that church is dead. I won't go there. They sing them old hymns. They preach that old King James. That church is dead. This church is not dead. This church has got more life than most churches around that I know. Because they have the DNA, the book that God gave you. And it's the DNA that makes the creature. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book, think of the Bible and think of your DNA. All my members were written. Think of Brian and Charles and all you guys. You're the members of this church. And it's the book that made the members. You got saved by the book. You get preached to by the book. So all the members were written. Is your name written in the book of life?
Amen.
Amen? Then all the members are written in the book, which in continuance when fashioned, when yet there is none of that. Brian, how long have you been saved?
Long time.
40 plus? 40 plus? Charles, how long you been saved?
Four.
In continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Even though Brian got saved long ago, he's still the part of the same body and the same book that Charles is, even though he got saved 4 years ago. In continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And there's yet more people, Brother Lonnie, that is going to be saved and brought in to be members of this body and members of the body of Christ. We are, look at this, look at how the Bible says this. This is the book of the generations of Adam. The word generation in the Bible, when you see that, I want you to think of the word genetics. Genetics is the study of what makes living creatures what they are by way of what the DNA says about them. There is no human DNA in a rose plant. Okay? Now there might be some things that are vaguely similar, but really, rose plants do not have the DNA of humans. There are things that make the rose different than human beings. Does that make sense to everybody? This church is different, let's say, than even my church. I know your pastor, I know me, we both preach out of the same book, and yet there are some slight differences in our church and this church. It's because the same DNA works in all parts of my body, but some parts of my body are different than other parts of my body. This hand is different than this hand, even though it kind of looks like this hand, but I can't shake hands with myself. How do you do that? Okay? And so it's the genetics that makes the creature. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day of God, in the day that God created man. And notice this. The genetics of God is what made Adam in the likeness of God. So the question I ask you is, would you like to be made in the likeness of God? Would you like your church to be made in the likeness of God? Then it's got to be done by the DNA, the genetics, the book. And if the book is different, it's a different creature. It does. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So genetics. This is the book of the genetics. Look at Genesis 6:9. These are the generations of Noah. The genetics of Noah. Noah was a just man and what? Perfect in his genetics. His genetics had not been defiled by the sons of God, the daughters of men, and the giants. Noah walked with God. There were, Psalm 14:5. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. God is in the genetics of the righteous. God is in the book that makes people righteous. Does that make sense to everybody? See, it's not Lonnie's teaching or his influence in your life that causes you to be righteous. It is the Word of God in you that fills you with righteousness and makes you want to be right with God. Amen? There are books in churches that don't do that. Don't cause that. Psalm 22:30, a seed shall serve him and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a seed is DNA. Every time you see the word seed in the Bible, it's DNA, it's the book. Psalm 112:2, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. The genetics of the, see, being upright and standing is different than those who fall. And what makes us upright is the genetics that we have received from God. Makes sense, right? Now watch this. Luke 1:50, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. You have children, you pass on your fear of God that you got from God, from his word, you pass that on to your children. As you hand it down to your children, your own personal genetics, you handed them down also your fear of the word of God. Does that make sense? Okay, now watch. Here's the opposite. Deuteronomy 32, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. That means their genetics makes them that way. The seed that goes in them, the book that makes them, is corrupt and perverse and crooked. Psalm 78:8, they are a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. How many, Brother Lonnie, has come into this church, got at this altar, and their spirit was not steadfast with God, and they're not here anymore? You know why? they didn't receive the book that makes their heart right and steadfast with God. Psalm 109:13, let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. The genetics of lost people and the genetics of lost churches means that their name is blotted out. They're not saved. Proverbs 30, verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father. There's a preacher out of North Carolina. He was a very vulgar preacher, one of these megachurch pastors. And he just had a nasty spirit. He was the guy that was playing Hell's Bells and AC/DC songs in his church for the worship service. Wicked guy. Turns out, he had a drinking problem. He was a drunk. He was a drunkard, right? The wine of Sodom made him drunk. So they boot him out of his church. Now he's been, you know, he's dry. And now he's going to start a new church. But this new church, he's going to make it like PG-13 because he wants to use curse words during his sermons. There's a generation that curseth their father. It's in his genetics to do this. Okay? There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. It's all about the genetics. It's the DNA that makes them that way. Now look at this. Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 12:45. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Look at this story. This is the windswept house. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Brother Lonnie, these people that come to the altar and say, oh, I want God, and they out because they're not steadfast with God, their heart is not right with God, they start filling themselves with things, and they end up worse than they were before they ever came to church. That's what the Bible says. It's mirrored, I think, in 1 Peter. He says the same thing. Their end result is worse than it was when they started out. Seven more spirits. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. It's in their genetics. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given. 1 Peter 2:9. I want you to underline this in your Bible. You are a chosen what? Genetics. A royal priesthood. A holy, even the word nation in the Bible. Nation does not imply like boundary lines around a country or a state. Nation is a type of people. Israel was a nation, even though they had no country to live in. They were still the nation of God, and it was in their genetics. Okay? A peculiar, in fact, do this, let's count. You're a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people. Four things. How many gospels are there? What made you a holy nation? The gospel. What made you a chosen generation? The gospel. What made you a royal priesthood? What made you a peculiar people? It was the gospel that did it. It was Jesus Christ, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. In fact, let's count this. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Four more things. And it's the gospel that did that. Look at Deuteronomy 14:2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. It's the Bible that does that in us. It is God's DNA, His genetics, His word, His book that creates in us and makes us a new creature so that we're not like the rest of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen? And it's the genetics that makes us that way. There's something different in you, and it's in your DNA. And the Lord avouch thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. Is this church going to keep this book as its Bible from here until the Lord comes? I want to hear you say it. God put it in you by way of his word to keep this, John, and never let it go. That day that God worked in you, in the cab of your truck, I'll never forget your story, that day that God worked in you, that this was the word of God, you're never going to back away from that, John. Never. Because God put a new creature in you, and that new creature's DNA, it's not in your DNA to turn back on God. You see that? Does that make sense to everybody? It's not in you to do these things. God has put something good. In fact, God put something perfect in you. Amen? Psalm 134, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob and himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Look at this. You're a chosen generation. I mentioned this a while ago. I got ahead of myself. Royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people. Four things. In the DNA, here's one strand, here's the other strand, and they're bound together by these four base pairs, adenine with thymine, cytosine with guanine. Did you know that in the four Gospels, they're mated together? Two of them are mated together to each other. Think about it. Matthew starts when Jesus is 30 years old. The next book after it, Matthew starts with the birth of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Mark starts when Jesus is 30. They're mated. Luke starts with the birth of Jesus Christ. John starts when Jesus was 30. Isn't that neat? They're opposite, and yet they are mated together, just like the base pairs in your DNA. So when God says you're a chosen generation, he literally means it in every way, and he means it according to his word. It's his word that makes you what you are today, is it not? I mean, I was talking about these two guys here. They're different from one another. One's taller than the other. One's better looking than the other. I don't know which one. One. That's not genetics. Okay. It'll catch you. Amen, Brian? It's going to catch him one of these days, and Brian's going to laugh. But what makes him, him? You walk in this church, and you look at him, you immediately identify him as him. You know him. You know him. And it's their DNA that makes them that way. Likewise, also, this whole church. This church is known, Brother Lonnie, in this area. It is known in the denomination, right? Because of who and what you are. And what you are did not come from Lonnie Burks. It came from the DNA, the genetics that make this church. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. So the genetics are they're necessary. Now watch this. Take a look at this. Can you see a difference in these two? Did you know that between humans and chimpanzees, there's only a 3% difference in DNA? Not a 60%, not a 90%, 3% difference. Look at that difference. The chimpanzee's head and forehead is flat. Remember I was teaching about the brain last night? They don't have the cerebrum that you and I have. The cerebrum is where the higher thoughts come from. Self-awareness and things like that. Things like giving to people, being nice to people, moral decisions that we make. We make those decisions and have the ability because of the cerebrum that we have, the most high part of our brain. These monkeys don't have that. None of the other creatures in the wild have that either. We're unique in that we have that, and it's better formed than all the other creatures that are in the universe. 3% difference makes that. Now watch this. Is there a difference between these two people? One is a man, believe it or not, this nice young man over here on this side, I read about him. I found the picture and read about him. He was the inspiration for the movie, The Dirty Dozen. He led a group of men, they were not prisoners by any means, but he led a group of men to do things in Germany that nobody else was willing to do. And him and his buddies fought the Germans right at their core. And it's said that these guys actually won World War II. I would dare say that this guy would ever fight for anything, including his own country. So what makes him different than him? And by the way, these people are all around us now, aren't they?
They went to college.
Yeah, sure they did. And you know what? It was the seed of what they were taught that made them what they are now. Amen? Here, take a look at this. Here's a church singing the old hymns, standing in reverence to God, and a church well lit. Here's a rock concert pretending to be a church, singing God knows what, singing secular songs. Very dark in the state. And you know, I don't know, I just see a pentagram here. Y'all seeing that, right? What makes this church different from this church? The genetics, the seed, the DNA. Let me give you another example. What makes Jacob different from Esau? Jacob and Esau were born at the same time. They were twins, right? Not identical twins, obviously. Esau, I have a little theory about Esau. Esau was very, very hairy, was he not? When Jacob went in to pretend to be Esau, what did he do? He put goatskin, he put fur on his arm. And his dad's going, oh, you're Esau. Because he can't see, right? He's feeling the fur on him. There is a genetic trait called hypertrichosis. And the body, and there's people, JoJo the dog boy, the circus boy, right? These people grow literally fur out of every part of their body. They are covered in fur. They're humans, but there's something in their genetics that makes them just covered with hair. And I think Esau may have been that way. But Esau, even in his nature and character, is different than Jacob. Esau is a man of the field, Jacob is a man of the home, and there's a difference between them. Genetically, there's a difference between them. God loved one of them and hated the other. The chosen seed, God loves. But a different, in fact, think of this. Esau is more like a beast than a man. Is he not? What do wild beasts do out in the field? They hunt and they kill. What did Esau do? That's what he did. He was covered with hair insomuch that his father tried to feel him, and when he felt the fur, he thought it was Esau. I think Esau represents the generation of the beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition. And I think Jacob represents the generation of the son of righteousness. Does that make sense to everybody? You see what the DNA can do? Do you see what little difference? They say that there's very little difference between these Bibles and this Bible. If that's true, then how come, Brother Lonnie, they don't use this Bible anymore?
They fight against it.
They fight against it. Listen, I've been on their side, remember? I sat and listened to them talk. They don't just not use the King James. They hate the King James. And they hate everybody that uses it. What does that tell you? That there is a difference. Something about all of these made them different than what this Bible makes us. Okay? There was, I don't see where am I going with this. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Remember what I said about the NIV and all these Bibles? They're in a constant state of change. The NIV that's out right now is not the same NIV that came out in 1973. And you know what they say about the King James? The King James is not the same now as it was in 1611. Yes, it is. And I can prove it. I can prove it. Okay? 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Now that is not the old man. It is the, because the old man has different DNA than the new man. See, Brother Arliss, your old man has the genetics of your mother and your father who were both sinners. Were they not? So, Brother Arliss, the old man, Brother Arliss, is a sinner. But the new man on the inside of him that loves this book is different than the old man that's on the outside of him. And that new man on the inside of you, because he has the seed of Almighty God, that new man cannot sin. It's like Christ. And it doesn't sin. Look at Nehemiah 9:2. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. See, isn't that what's happening? There's a separation going on. The sheep and the goats are just naturally, by nature, dividing up, aren't they? What do we know? Does anybody know anything about sheep and goats? If you have flocks of sheep and goats together, what happens? Okay, that wasn't where I was going, but that was pretty good. I can use that somewhere. They separate. You don't like to go to other churches where they use these strange Bibles, do you? You can't sit there. You can't listen to it. It's not the voice of the shepherd that you know. That's because God made you a different creature. You hear me talk? I'm going to give you a break here in a minute. You hear me talk about CRISPR and the DNA editing system that's now in play. I cannot begin to stress to you the world that you are fixing to enter in. If you think that what I showed you was an abomination upon the screen, you are fixing to see in person, in life, a greater abomination. Because of the DNA changes that are going to be made in human beings in the very near future. I would say 10 years. Maybe quicker than that. We're already experimenting on human fetuses, altering and changing their DNA. And notice what the Bible says in Isaiah 4. Sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of what? You know what that means? It's in their DNA. And it's in yours, right? The old man is a seed of evildoers. Because it wants to do evil. It hates the law. It hates going to church. Amen? It hates it. It doesn't want to conform. That's why this body is not going anywhere. It's going to go to the ground and rot and corrupt and then burn up at the end. But it's the new man that's going somewhere. So it's a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. And I'm going to talk about this in a minute. This is Novum Testamentum Grace. This is the Nestle-Aland Greek text that is the basis for every modern translation. And the Greek text used in practically every Bible college, every seminary, every place around the world, this is the New Testament in Greek for them. See that number 28? What that means is it has undergone 28 revisions. 28 changes. They are children of corruptors. That Bible, that Greek New Testament, will never be incorruptible because they are constantly changing it. Adding words, taking words out, changing words, so on. So that now the Bibles that are based upon that are always going to change as well. God wants a people, a seed, who will separate themselves out from the rest. Amen?